Am I live on that one too? Wow. Oh yeah, I gotta put my microphone on. Well, shalom, lahakol havarim beIsrael. Hatikvati hakol. Everything is going well in Israel. Woo. We gotta pray for our people, friends, and everyone in Israel. I hope they. Messianic Jews there, or somebody's protesting because they're getting it pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Well, if you, I don't even, you know, what can you do? I'm just waiting for the Lord to call us out. Anyway, I want to make sure that I show this card on camera. You see this card? You see that? Pull it down some.
Thank you, Pastor. And it, we, turn it over here.
So hold it. Oh, turn it over there.
Way, down, so
we,
down. Down, down, down.
Down, 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 down.
There you go. Now come over here.
Oh my goodness, we got three cameras. What am I, President Trump? Man. Anyway, I love this card. North Carolina loves you, Pastor Sandy. Riley, Zebulon, I don't can't even say that for Quarina, North Carolina, Gardner, North Carolina, Winston, North Carolina. What about my friends in Greensboro? I got friends in Greensboro too. Praise God. Look at this. And they all signed it. Let's see. Willie Mingham, Mickey Evans, Faye Tinsley, William Mangum. Oh, let's see, William Mangum and Wallace Mangum. Okay, it's not the same person. And Pearl Rogers and China Evans. Hallelujah. All in North Carolina. I got to show my friend Lee Roussan this. He's from Greensboro. Say, I got love in Greensboro.
Much love.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Sandy, for your eye-opening, anointed, end-time ministry, revealing the truth about the V word.
Mm-hmm. The V word.
The rapture, tribulation. May God continue to bless you and your ministry. And praise God. This is. It took a lot of love to do this. I got. I'm leaving this in the church.
What you showing?
Huh?
Show it.
I already showed it.
The inside.
Did I show the inside?
I got a picture of the inside.
Ba da 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 da.
Yeah.
Now come down.
Yeah, come down. Way. Go that way.
And then go back.
Then go that way.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg. Greg is. Okay, I'm leaving this somewhere posted in the church. That's pretty awesome. Okay. Oh, yeah. Let me get my other card. Hold up. Watch this. This right here, I wanted to know that I got it. Okay, this is from Teresa. And see that? She says, she writes in there, Toda Rabba, writing in Hebrew. Dear Pastor Sandy, enclosed is a small gift. Now, this is the small gift that she sent. It's a keychain, but I'm telling you right now, use my tools, which my wife says, they're jewels, not tools. Anyway, this is the Urim and the Thummim from the priesthood that they wear on their chest. See that? Now, the Urim means the light, and the Thummim means it's like Tamim, the wisdom or perfection. So this is how God, he used this to guide the priesthood into the right decisions to make. So I got to make that into a you know what I mean, something to wear on my chest. Greg, you want to pray us in? Thank you, Teresa. This is a wonderful gift. It says, Dear Pastor Sandy, enclosed is a small gift. I'm going to read the other side. Toda Rabba, thank you. A source of faith, anointed teaching, encouragement, fellowship for me. I have been thanking God for you since 2017. Hallelujah. With love to Pastor Sandy and that other little short guy that hangs out with you. No, she said, and Pastor Ben also. Wonderful family of S4C. okay, let's roll. Pray us in, Greg.
Father God, we thank you for this evening. Most of all, thank you for, Lord, when you said, let us make man in your own image and likeness. Mm-hmm. Everything is working for our good. Lord, we might not understand it, but you understand it. Pray and ask that you cover your word, mm-hmm. allow it to go out, allow it to be dropped on the soil so that it can take root. Mm-hmm. Help us to stay focused and keep our eyes stayed on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Baruch Hashem Adonai.
Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
No, say Kol Hazman. Don't like you don't. You just like Shema Israel. They know it's Shema, but it's Shema Israel. This is so beautiful. I can't wait to start wearing it. I'm gonna wear it every day. Hallelujah. Here we go. We are going to go through. And I forget who told me this, but if you let me know tonight or before tomorrow, I will mention your name because it was a blessing, and I went into a deep study on this one thing. Do you guys know when Passover is? Passover, well, the first of Nisan will be March 14th, okay? And Passover is, I wanna link some things together for you. I think the only way we can do it is to just jump into it. So we're going to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 2. Hallelujah.
What's the title?
The title is Celebrating Passover in Heaven. The scripture tends to say that the church will be in heaven getting married, celebrating with Jesus before Passover, and we will celebrate Passover in heaven. Say, Pastor Sandy, where did you get that? I want to express to us this as we read through it. I'm going to read through it first, and then we're going to go back through it because I want you guys to understand what's going on here, because the scriptures are always prophesying to us. You guys ready? Hallelujah. You hear the crowd? It says, on the third day, a wedding took place in Cana, at Cana in Galilee. Okay? So this is where the wedding is taking place. In a small part of Galilee called Cana. But they are in Galilee, okay? Jesus' mother was there. How many of you think that when the rapture happens, Jesus' mother will be there? Amen. She'll be there. And it says, and Jesus and his disciples also had been, and if your Bible is King James, it'll say called to the wedding. But the word called in the Greek means invited, okay? So Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. And he says, dear woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come. Okay? Now, I always think of that and go, that's your mama talking to you. You know what I mean? don't matter. You're talking about your time has not come. So I'm sure Jesus looked in the sky and said, God is my mom. I have to do it, right? So he says, his mother said to him, do whatever he tells you. Okay? Nearby stood six water pots of stone water jars. That's important. We're going to go over that. The kind used for the Jews' ceremonial washing. What ceremonial washing? We're going to go back and think and study that. Each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Now, Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine, and he did not realize where it had come from. Though his servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests, have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best for now." This, the first of miracles, miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Verse 12. After this, he went down to Capernaum. We're going to look at that. With his mother and brothers and his disciples, and they stayed many days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So, did the wedding take place before Passover or after Passover? Before Passover. So this is a prophecy of a wedding that takes place in Galilee, and the wedding takes place on the third day, and there's six pots, there are six water pots, and these water pots are 20 to 30 gallons. So if they put 20 in it, you would have 120 gallons of wine, okay? And now you're turning wine into water into wine, which Jesus, when he's pierced in his side, out comes water and blood, okay? Because the wine is a representation of the blood of Christ, and the water is the representation of the new birth, okay, and life. So I want us to look at a couple of things here because of the fact that the wedding happens before Passover.
Right.
And this is not the first time there's a crossing over or a wedding that's happening before Passover, okay? But now I want you to look at this as we begin to read. Now watch this. I'm going to read through it again. Okay, on the third day, there was a wedding that took place in Cana of Galilee. Okay, are we on the third day? Are we?
Yes.
Past 2,000 years since Christ has been gone. Because a day is unto the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So, Jesus, the Lord is not using "it's the third day" just for the purpose of saying it's the third day, or saying Yom Shaloshi, which is Tuesday, what we call. But he's saying it was the third day, and there was a wedding in Cana, okay? And now, they're in Cana, but let's not think so much of Cana as we think of Galilee, because Galilee is the key word in this. Cana is just a small area in Galilee, okay? Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples, and they had also been invited to the wedding. And then it says, when the wine ran out, okay, his mother said, they had run out of wine. He says, "Dear mother, why do you involve me in this?" And she tells him, you know, to go ahead right now. But listen to this. It said, nearby stood six stone water jars. What are those six stone water jars for? And I'm going to tell you what they're called in the Greek, okay? They are called the katharismos, and they are these big stone water jugs that they used when the purification of a woman after she gives birth. Go see one. So after a woman gives birth, she has She has to go through a purification, okay? Now, please listen to this. This is a wedding. What are six stone pots of water that are used for the purification of a woman after she gives birth doing at a wedding? Is she going to have a child there? So the whole thing of there being these six stone vases which they call the katharismos are there, and they're there because we use these when after a woman has a child. These are the water jars that we use for the purification ceremony after she's had a child. So is there going to be a wedding and a childbirth at the same time? Because there's no reason for the jars to be there. This is a wedding. This is not a purification for a woman giving birth to a child, right? Now, let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 22. And you'll see this. And I'm going to keep this word katharismos, which is a purification, stone jars for the purification of a woman when she's giving birth, after she's given birth. And we're going to learn about that. So are you guys there? And it says, when the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, for every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keep with what is said in the law, a pair of doves or two pigeons. Okay, so now they're giving a pair of doves or two pigeons because obviously they're not rich, because if you're poor, you can give that. But if you're rich, you're supposed to give a lamb. But Jesus was the lamb.
Right.
She didn't know that. Well, maybe she did. She knew she gave birth to Christ, right? But what you're looking at is they are operating in the structure of the law. And what does the law say? After you have a male child, you need to go through the ritual of purification. When it says here they went through the ritual of purification, it uses the word katharismos, which means there they had the stone jars and they were there for her purification, to wash her and cleanse her for 7 days before she can be reestablished back into the body of the Jewish people. Okay, so now Mary's going to go through a 7-day ritual purification. And they're going to bring out the stone jars, which has 20 to 30 gallons, and she'll be cleansed. And she'll go through this cleansing for 7 days before she's welcomed back into the family of the Jews. Oh, you understand? So my problem is, why are katharismos purification jars at a wedding? Unless the wedding and the childbirth happens at the same time, there's no reason for them to be there. Do you understand? Okay. So let's continue. What more? Let's go to Leviticus chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Leviticus chapter 12. Verse 1 through 3. Listen what it says. So now we know this is according to the law that they were following. So it says, the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelite, a woman who becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days, just as she is unclean during the monthly period. The 8th day, the boy is to be circumcised. So there you have it. When a woman gives birth to a male child, for the next 7 days, she's considered unclean. So now she has to go through a purification thing, right? She needs so they have the jars, the water jars set up with 20 to 30 gallons in it. Katharismos, they got six of them. What does six mean? Complete salvation, complete reconnection back to God. That means six is a completion, okay? The Vav is the letter of salvation. So for them to have six jars there meant salvation is going on here. Okay? So you got salvation is going on. You've got the charisma, let me say it right, Cartharismos jars there, and they're going through a purification. And then you still got to go back and ask yourself, we know that someone's getting married this day, but was someone else giving birth that day? And if they were giving birth, why weren't the jars already full? So obviously they're there for the purpose of Jesus telling you a prophecy concerning himself, okay? And so the prophecy he's trying to tell you concerning himself is the 6,000 years are up, you're in the 120th, 6 times 20, 120. There is a wedding going on, and there's also a purification jars are there. So here we go. Let's go to, so she's going to be unclean for the next 7 days, and let's go to Revelation chapter 12. And it says here, I know people get, this is a double prophecy, okay? You have to understand God is talking about two separate things here at the same time. Because you'll say, well, that refers to Christ. And then, well, that refers to the, that can't refer to Christ. What does, you know? So you got to see that there's a double prophecy going on here. But remember when John wrote this, this had already happened. You understand? So when John is writing this in 90 AD, Jesus already has come into the world, died on the cross, gone back to heaven, everything, okay? So for him to give this prophecy in Revelation chapter 12, as Christ is giving it to him, Christ is giving you a double prophecy of what happened and what is going to happen. So here it is. Revelation, the revealing. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars over above her head. And she was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. We found out Sunday that they're turning the world into 10 separate nations, right? And 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all nations with an iron scepter. Okay, now, it says also, and her child was harpazoed up to God, up to the throne. And the woman fled in the desert for a place prepared for her by God. So now, God does not mince with words. When Jesus leaves the earth, it said he ascended up into a cloud. Harbazo means to be forcibly grabbed and pulled up. It says Jesus ascended up into the cloud. Who is this woman giving birth? Is it Mary? Because Mary does give birth to a son, and Mary's son is going to reign and rule with an iron scepter, although Jesus also said the church will reign and rule with him. So the church is also going to reign and rule with an iron scepter. You understand? So now you have the understanding of this. She's giving birth to a male child. Okay? Now, you've got to also give the understanding that John knows that this event already happened. Why is he telling it again? Because there's going to be another birth. Who is the mother of the church? Israel. Because Israel gave birth to Jesus, and Jesus gave birth, remember the crimson worm?
Yes.
Jesus gave birth to the church. And so as we're understanding that Israel is the root and the mother of the Christian church, one day the church has to leave. God considers the rapture to be a birthing out of the world of the church. And God calls it a male child. Why? What happened? What's going to happen with Israel once the male child leaves? She'll be unclean for 7 days. So now for the next 7 years is tribulation, and Israel has to be cleansed from her impurity. She gave birth to a child, but now she's going to go through 7 years of cleansing until at the end of the 7 year, she'll be welcomed back into the family of God, because through this, she'll go through the cleansing and the impurities of what tribulation offers her. You understand?
Yeah.
So I want to go to one more scripture that's going to clarify this, and that's Isaiah 66.
I think it's 66.
If it's not, when I get there, I think it's the last chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah has 66 books. It's called the mini Bible, because the Bible has 66 books. I'm reading through our friend's book, Pastor Ben.
Oh, yeah. Justin.
Yeah. And boy, he added a lot of new good stuff. Okay. So if you're in 66, let's go to verse 7. Let me put on my glasses. There they are, words. Okay, here we are. Listen what it says. Before she goes into labor, she gives birth. We have to stop. You got to pump your brakes right there. Before she goes into labor, she gives birth.
Right.
Does that make sense? What is labor for Israel? The tribulation. Labor is the tribulation, but the scripture is saying before this woman goes into labor, she's going to give birth. So now no tribulation has come, and it says before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pains come upon her, she delivers a son. Who's the son? The male child, because he has to give birth to a male child, so the church is considered a male child, just in metaphor, because this male child is going to cause the person who gave birth to it to now need 7 years of purification, or 7 days of purification, before she's accepted back into God's family.
Yes.
And Israel is about to go through that. But they're going to have to go through the purification process, because God has ordained it that Israel will go through the purification process. Now, we have the Jews right now. They're going, I think on the 21st or something, they're all going to pray together for the Messiah to come.
Really?
Yeah. Every Jew in the world is going to say the prayer at the same time for the Messiah to appear. Show yourself, Messiah.
Wow.
Is it the 21st? Yeah. Did they already do it? Oh, well, whether it is the 21st, I think it is. But, well, did he appear? No, because they're calling out to the wrong God. They can say Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai. They can call out and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Yeshua, HaMashiach, or our Messiah, right? Mashiach Nu. They can call for the true Messiah, but they're not calling for the true Messiah. Who are they calling for? They're calling for a man who's the leader of the whole world, to call 7 years of peace and help them build their temple. So they're calling out for a Messiah that is not a Messiah at all, but is an antichrist or a pseudo Christ that is going to come, and he's going to do all the things that they're requesting. He's going to help them build the temple. He's going to call 7 years of peace. He's going to calm the world, and he's going to present to the world a false utopia. This is coming as sure as I'm telling you right now. This is a sure thing. As sure as Israel is a nation right now, as sure as they won the Six-Day War, this is coming, okay?
It is the 21st.
It was the 21st. So, good prayer, wrong prayer, okay? Good unity, wrong prayer.
Yep.
Wrong Messiah. But remember, Israel is going to finally get that person that they're asking for.
Yeah, they are.
But before they do, before they go into tribulation, they give birth to a male child. And if you give birth to a male child, what happens? You're unclean. You got to go into 7 days of purification. So now you've got to go through the 7 years before Christ can come and pull you back into the family of God. Okay? So then you got to ask yourself, if there's a wedding in Canaan on the third day and it's in Galilee, and they're having a wedding, and at the wedding just so happens to be 6 pots of the katharismos, the purification jars, for to clean a woman for 7 days after she gives birth. What are they doing there? This is not the temple. Are they having a wedding at the temple?
Nope.
This is, why are they even there? You've got to ask yourself, is Jesus telling you a prophecy? Why are they there? Is there going to be a birth of a male child and a wedding on the same day? Yes, there is. So God is making it clear to you. Now, after this, in the book of John, I'm going to go back to John. It says they went to Capernaum. Okay. Now, it says here, I hope everybody got their notes. It says Capernaum. What does Capernaum mean? Kaprasim in Hebrew, okay, and Nachlunosim, Kaprasim. We went to Kaprasim, the village of comfort. So it says, after that, after this, after the wedding, okay, after the wedding, Jesus, his mother, the disciples, and all of his company went to Kaprasim. Where's Kaprasim? I mean, where's Capernaum? The valley of comfort. So in the after the wedding, they go to a place where they're comforted. Okay? You see this? You see how God, I'm telling you a story. And then it says in verse 13, now the feast of Passover was near. Your Bible might say it was at hand, but it's the Greek word, it was near, meaning Passover had not even come. They already had a wedding. They're already in a place of comfort. And Passover hasn't come. So where does God, where did we get this from? Okay. I want to make some other points before I move on. A flourishing city in Galilee, situated. Where's Kaprasim? Kaprasim is a flourishing city of Galilee. Okay, so they're in Canaan, in Cana. Now they go to Kaprasim, right? They have the wedding. They're in the same area in Galilee. Okay, and now they go to, it says they go to Kaprasim. Now they're in comfort, and Kaprasim is listed as being a flourishing city in Galilee, situated west in the western shores of the Sea of Galilee, at the Lake of Gennesaret, near the place where the Jordan flows into the lake. The Jordan? Wait a minute. You mean the Jordan River that the priest stood in and divided the waters and had the children walk through to the other side?
Wow.
before Passover? So now you're looking at, wait a minute, okay, so Galilee is really comes from the Greek word galgal, which means the wheel, okay? Which, if we get an opportunity, or we have to do it tomorrow at Hebrew class, Galilee is the circle. It means a circuit. Galgal is the way you say wheel. So it's a complete, you get the 66 books, you got three wheels, a wheel inside of a wheel, okay? It's the completion of the story, is Galilee. That's why everything happens in Galilee. Galilee is book 66. It means the circle has been completed. The mission has been done. He didn't choose to call a place Galilee for no reason. Galilee is the Galgal, is the wheel. It is what Ezekiel said. What do you see? I see a wheel in the middle of the wheel. And he said, I saw the appearance of God and four faces. And he's saying the same thing that John says in Revelation, but he's seeing it in the book of Ezekiel. You understand? So Galilee is the place where they used to say, this was going to all happen. This is what's happening. This all happens in Galilee. That's why the wedding's in Galilee. That's why the Jordan flows through what? Galilee. You understand? Okay, so watch this. Okay, also, listen to this. It said also, Gennesaret, the capital of Perea, situated opposite the south extremities of the lake of Gardanos to the southeast, but at some distance from the lake on the bank of the river Haramox. And now they're telling you, Gennesaret, Gergesens and Gardanos are all in Galilee right by the Jordan River. Okay? Now, they all have different meanings. One hat means the harp. The other one means a stranger's drawing near. And the other one means reward at the end. But it's really, the original word is the place where the Jordan splits in Galilee is called the reward at the end. Gardanus, it's Gadarenos, okay? And the definition of that word is the reward at the end. So all this is happening in Galilee is telling you, this is where the reward happens. This is where the wedding happened in Galilee. Okay? This is where the Jordan River flows into Galilee. You understand? Into the river, into the Lake of Galilee. This is where Jesus tells the apostles, meet me at Galilee. And seven of them are in the boat. And they see Jesus on the shore of what? Galilee.
Yeah.
And they're fishing and they bring up 153 fish, which mean what? The sons of God. And so they bring these seven, who's the seven? The churches. But these seven disciples bring forth 153 fish, the sons of God. And Jesus, when they get there, Jesus already made a meal because the feast is already prepared. So everything happens at Galilee, okay? Now, the Lord said, take my time. Take your time. Sound like my mama. Take your time, baby. Don't get to a rush. Okay. Yes.
Could the purification jars represent repentance as a requirement to get to the wedding?
No. Because I'm not saying no completely. I'm saying no, not for that day. They were all invited to the wedding. The jar's just sitting there. If they didn't run out of wine, it would have been not used at all. Right. But Christ is showing them that it is the blood and the water that is going to purify Israel from their sins. Yes, So in that term, yes. But in the other term, it had no purpose of being there because nobody was giving birth. This was a wedding.
Right.
Unless you're just trying to tell the story of a birth and a wedding going to happen on the same day. Okay. So now we got the word Sabbath. You see the board up there? The word Sabbath, the Sabbath is the numerical value is 707. The word holy is the numerical value is 404. Now, is the Sabbath on the 707th day or just the seventh day? Just the seventh. Holy is representing the number four, okay? It is Kadosh. Almond is the same numerical value of representing the number four. What does four represent? The door, okay? Four is Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalit, the door. So the almond tree is representing what? The door. It is the door of the Kadosh. I'll tell you how the Jewish guy said it. It says the holy door of El Shaddai. El Shaddai's holy door. This is how he says, because every word is telling you what the word means. So the Kadosh, the door to God is the holy door to El Shaddai is holiness. The door to the El Shaddai's holy door is the almond tree. And what happens during the almond tree? Early spring, the almond tree is blossomed. And they said in the book of that we read last week, righteous men went to their eternal homes while the almond tree was in bloom. Okay? So now we've got three things that are happening before Passover, and they're all talking about a church leaving. Then you go to the book of Song of Solomon. Well, the Song of Songs, and she's walking and she's going down to the nut grove, which is the almond trees. And she says, suddenly she's swept up into a chariot and taken into heaven. Mm-hmm. And this is doing, so we've got one, two, three, four examples of the church leaving before Passover even comes. Okay, so I want us to go because I don't want to go to Revelation chapter 4 because what is it going to say? The door. There was someone and he was at the door and he said, come up here. And John came up here. When? Because it's representing the almond tree, which is 404, the door. Okay, now let's. Okay, Passover is at hand. Moses is about to die. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Because, you know, I mean, there's only so much craziness can go on in this world. You know, some of our people have taken the word. And it hasn't affected them. There's some people that have taken it and they're already in heaven. If they were Christians or not, I don't know. But there's over 400 people that have taken the V word. Mm-hmm. And they're gone, okay? Another young lady lost her uncle just this, I think yesterday or this morning, and was trying to get information, like, hey, don't do this. And he's like, no, I'm gonna do it. Like, it may affect different people differently. Maybe somebody's praying over you, like the apostles got bit with snakes and it didn't kill them.
Right.
And it was like, you guys must be gods. It's like, no, we're just protected by God.
That's right.
So, but it's obvious that this thing is happening, okay? But only this evil that is going on in the world in the 120th year, and I'm keep trying to say the 120th year is the judgment, and the judgment is about to happen. But we've got to get people to know and understand. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Yeshua Ruach HaKodesh Yahweh Echad. And they always give me great messages. I was going through this today going, this is good, Lord. Because I'm not arrogant enough to think that I'm coming up with all this on my own. So now we're in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 14. And it says, the Lord said to Moses, now the day of your death is near. Call Joshua and present yourself at the tent of meeting where I will commission him. So Moses and Joshua came and presented themselves at the tent of meetings. Now, I have to tell you something. Before that, he also called Eleazar to make sure you be a part of this, because Eleazar represents the Holy Spirit. So all three are in work here because they know that ministry is about to be transferred over from Moses to Joshua. And how do you say Joshua in Hebrew? Yeshua. How do you say Jesus in Hebrew? Yeshua. Okay. What does Joshua mean in Hebrew? Yahweh's salvation. What does Jesus mean in Hebrew? Yahweh's salvation. So they're both representing Yeshua, and both of, and he is a typology of Christ, and he is going to be the one to do the big crossover. Okay? So here we go. Let's bypass that and let's go now to the end of Deuteronomy. And the end of Deuteronomy in chapter 7, Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. Okay, so Moses dies at 120. So judgment came. Now, did Moses die for no reason, or is Moses dying because of judgment?
It was judgment.
That was judgment. Why did he die?
Disobeyed.
Disobeyed God. Okay? It's like, I told you to speak to the rock this time.
Right.
The rock represents Jesus. When Jesus comes the first time, they're going to strike him. When he comes the next time, they're not going to, all the Jews aren't going to say a prayer and ask for a human Messiah.
Right.
They're going to cry out for help to the real Messiah, and he will come. Okay? So, sometimes I forget God has blinded them.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if God blinds you, you might be pretty jacked up too, right?
Yep.
It's like you can't even understand. Like, I'm sitting here asking a Jewish guy, I said it like this. Do you find it strange that John, in the Brit Hadashah, calls Jesus the Lamb of God? And Jesus died on the 14th of Nisan. And he goes, well, that's the same day they killed the lamb when we came out of Egypt. I'm waiting for him to click. I'm waiting to click, you know? I'm like, let it hit you. And he's like, and what are you trying to say? And oh God, you are, when you blind somebody, you are good. Because that's as obvious as 2 + 2 = 4, right?
Yep.
But he didn't get it. So I don't laugh when the Jews say, we're going to pray for the Messiah on this day. And we're gonna, I'm like, they're blinded.
They don't know.
For us.
Yep.
On our behalf.
Yes.
God said, I blinded them on your behalf. So that while they're out, you can be grafted in.
Yeah.
And at the end, I'll come back and save them by grace.
Yeah.
And he says, I'll save them by grace because you know why? They have done nothing to obtain it.
Right.
They weren't even faithful. We're saved by grace through faithfulness.
Yes.
Does the Bible ever say we're saved by just grace? No. It says you're saved by grace through faith. Imuna means faithfulness.
Yes.
Not pistos. So we become faithful to God. We're thankful that he saved us. And now we're saved through this, right?
Yeah.
So,
10 minutes passed.
Okay, no, that's very good because we can do this. So, in the 120th year, Moses died and judgment comes. God gives a scenario of 120 count from 1900, 1901 to 120, and every year is prophesied to the 2020, which is now, and every year is prophesied for 120 years.
Yes.
We get to, now 1948 talked about the going back into the land, right? Getting the land back. 1947 talked about the UN making the decision to give them back the, 1967 talks about the whole world acknowledging God after he wins the war for Israel. So every chapter in Psalms is telling you what's gonna happen this year.
Yeah.
We get to 2020, which is the 120th year, which says the year of ascending up. And it starts by saying, Father, save us. Hatzilanu from lies. Rapture us out of the lie. We're asking God, get us out of here. Rapture us out of this big, fat lie.
Yes.
And now we go to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Moses has died. Now listen. Moses died in the 120th year. It's not the new year yet. You know why? It's not Nisan first yet. You understand? Moses died before Nisan. Nisan will start the new year because God said, I changed the first of the year to Nisan.
Yeah.
So Moses dies before Nisan, but we're waiting for Nisan 1. They're waiting for Nisan 1 for the new year to start. But some things are going to happen early. I'm thinking before the new year or right at the beginning of it, because it's done. And then you have here, it says in chapter 3, and I'm going to say verse 17, the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all the Israelites passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. So right there at the end of chapter 3, it says what? The whole nation had completed the crossover into the new ground.
Yes.
Now, I'm just going to mention this, that Psalms 117 divides the whole Bible. And the word of God is considered the water of the word.
Yes.
So he divides the water, and Psalms 117 says, you Gentiles better praise the Lord and celebrate him. Psalms 117 is a direct message to the Gentile nations to praise God. And it's the division of the word of God. 594 on this side, 594 on that side, and Psalms 117 right down the middle, which says what? Our deliverance goes through like a water. This is like God is seeing us as dividing the water and coming through. So here is Joshua, because the law can't bring you into heaven. So now you've got Yeshua bringing them through. So in chapter 4, it says, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with them down at the place where you are going to stay tonight. Okay, so they go back into the Jordan. We do not know that this happened immediately. Okay, we just know that after they crossed over, then God gathered Joshua and said, now I want you to take 12 and go back into the water and get 12 stones and bring them. So we don't know, rather, the first of Nisan or the 10th of Nisan, but we know when the priest came out completely of the water, it was the 10th of Nisan. Okay? So let's look at that here. Right here in chapter 19. We'll start in verse 17. It said, Joshua commanded the priest, come out of the Jordan. And the priest came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stages. Okay, at flood stage as before. On the 10th of Nisan, on the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from Jordan, not from the water. They left the area of Jordan and camped at Gilgal. What is Gilgal? Galilee. So that means what? The will is complete and they're already in Capraceim. They're already in comfort. They've already crossed over. You understand? Okay. So it says they went to Gilgal, or we could say they went to Galilee, to the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Galilee the 12 stones. And they had taken out of the Jordan, because the Jordan River would flowed right where Galilee was. And he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants see this, you will tell them why these 12 stones are there. Okay? Now, let's go over to chapter 5, and let's read verse 8. It says, and after the whole nation had been circumcised, that's a whole nother thing. Now, listen to this. Pastor Ben, I need you a few minutes. Listen to this. Now, Joshua and Caleb gave a good report. And they said, we can cross over and do this. Joshua and Caleb, the rest of the Jews, the 10 Jews, the other 10 said, we can't do it. The other Jews believed the 10 Jews. They didn't believe Joshua and Caleb, so they cried and mourned. So, they don't believe Joshua, who's representing Jesus, and they don't believe Caleb, who represents the Gentile church. So for the next 40 years, they wander in the wilderness. God doesn't say anything about Joshua until the 40 years are over. Now Joshua comes forth, and God says, put Joshua now. Now, for 40 Jubilees, Israel has not believed Jesus or the Gentile church. But guess what? Even though you've accepted Christ, you haven't been really circumcised yet. Meaning that you still have on your flesh. It has to be taken off when you go into the kingdom, right? So the circumcision has to do with what? Removing the flesh and going into glory. So he's saying, he says, why are you circumcising all these people? He said, because for the 40 years of wilderness, these are the new people that have believed in God but didn't get circumcised. So now before we do this, we got to take off their flesh and bring them into glory.
Yeah.
Which is just the rapture, you getting taken from the flesh into your glorious body, getting rid of the old. But now we're in new resurrected bodies, we're in heaven. We're in Capraceim, we're in comfort. And verse 8 says, after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. And it says, then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So, the Egypt representing the world for us, for them it was Egypt. So, the place has been called Galilee to this day. Why Galilee? This is the end of the circle. This is where the wedding took place. This is where the Jordan River flows, and you walked over to the other side to where? Galilee.
Yes.
You understand? So here it is. It says, on the evening of the 14th day, that's Passover, the 14th day of the month, while camped in Gilgal or Galilee, on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. Where? Not on this side. They celebrated Passover on that side in new bodies in Capricorn, in comfort. You understand? So the Bible is telling us, look, Galilee is always the place where these things happen. The wedding happens in Galilee, the crossover, they stop the water at Jordan and they end up on the Jordan shore, but then they leave there and they go to Galilee. You understand? So everything is happening in Galilee, all right? The child is being born. Israel has to go through tribulation. It's being told to you by scripture. But the incredible thing is, we never looked at John chapter 2, which tells us what? The wedding happened before Passover. Chapter 13 said, after the wedding, they went to Capernaum, and then it says, and then after they were in Capernaum, it says, Passover was near, but they already had the wedding and they already went to comfort, and Passover hadn't even came yet. Then they celebrated Passover later, the same as they're doing in the book of Joshua. So I'm looking to leave soon. You understand? I'm looking to leave soon because the structure of the Bible says three times, and we didn't even read Song of Songs because she went down to the nut grove. Yeah. And she's walking around, and she said the desire of her heart came in a royal, that's what Pastor Zan said, a kingdom chariot, and swooped her up, and she went up into heaven with the desire of her heart, which represents Jesus, the desired one, okay? Yeah. There's a star constellation called the desired one that represents Jesus, okay? She said, the desired one came and swept me up while I was in the nut grove looking at the new growth of the nut trees, of the almond branches. And the door came, because almond is 404, and the door came and said, come up here, swept her up, she went up into heaven. And then it said, Israel was standing around saying to her, come back, the beautiful church, come back. And Jesus says, why should she come back? I know what you're going to do. You're going to make that false evil man your king, and you're going to set up a false prophet.
Yep.
The story's the same, but it's leaning toward Galilee before Passover. So that's where my hope is. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Beautiful.
Hold
on, we got a lot to turn off.
Maria, this is a lot.